31st, Celtics fans were introduced to what would be the next great era of Boston Celtics basketball. Hey there, this is Abby Chin, and welcome to Episode 6 of Comcast Sportsnet's Into the Archives special podcast series. All summer long, we've been reflecting back on some of the best interviews and features gathered in our station's history. This week, we bring you clips from the summer of 2007. The Celtics had been slowly rebuilding, finishing the previous season with just 24 wins. Danny Ainge was able to turn that lottery pick and several young prospects into a couple of future Hall of Famers. Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen teamed with Paul Pierce to form the new Big Three, dominating the NBA during the 2007-2008 season, on their way to the franchise's 17th NBA championship. Let's first take you back to the day this all became official, with the first glimpse of Pierce, KG, and Allen holding up their green Celtics jerseys at the introductory press conference.
Without further ado, I'd like to introduce the head table, our president, Rich Gotham, managing partner, Bob Epstein, co-owner, managing partner, Governor Wick Rosbeck, captain, Paul Pierce. The newest member of the Boston Celtics, Kevin Garnett. Just behind him, the second newest member of the Boston Celtics now, Ray Allen. Executive Director of Basketball Operations, Danny Ainge. And Head Coach, Doc Rivers.
Thank you, everybody, for being here. And I'd like to start out by thanking the ownership because, their passion to win and bring a winning team to Boston is what's behind all of this and that's going on today. They have a strong desire to put a winning product on the court. And Steve Pagliuca, who's not here with us, he's in Michigan with his family, but he's been burning the midnight oil with us the last couple nights, or before he went on his trip. So we miss Steve not being here. This is going to be a lot of fun this year. I think that, how this all happened is really interesting. And, another guy I'd like to thank are the two guys just right here, Paul and Doc. They've stood in front of the cameras, in front of you guys for the last 2 years and taken some heat, taken some bullets, and, had a pretty heavy shoes to fill and high expectations that were probably unrealistic and unfair. And they've handled it well. And without Paul Pierce here today, we probably don't do a deal for Ray Allen and we don't get Kevin Garnett. And without Ray Allen, we don't get Kevin Garnett. So there's a lot of things that trickle down effects from here. But, Paul's been here a long time. And Paul's endured a lot. They've had some success and he's endured a lot the last few years. And I'm glad he's here with us today to experience some of the hope that is with our franchise today. Next, I'd like to say, the bitter part of this day is Minnesota got a good deal in this deal, a good trade. Where they are as a franchise, it's really hard for us who have invested a lot of time and development in Al Jefferson, Ryan Gomes, Gerald Green in particular, the guys that have been with us for a while. We've invested a lot of blood, sweat, and tears with them, and they've given us everything that they've had. Al Jefferson is going to be a fantastic player, and I'm glad he's in the Western Conference. And Ryan Gomes may be one of the best people I've been around in 25 years of sports, a class human being. And we all know Gerald's upside. I mean, Gerald's young still and has a tremendous upside. And they're just at different cycles. Minnesota's in one phase of their franchise where we have been in developing young players, and we're at another phase right now. We are in a cycle where we feel like over the next handful of years where we have a chance to be a very special team. And so we're really looking forward to that. And that's all I have. That's all I have for now. Open it up to any questions.
Kevin, go ahead.
Well, I'm happy to be here. this has probably been the hardest 72 hours I've dealt with since I've been in the NBA. Initially, I had no interest in leaving Minnesota, and I let that be known. But after Glenn Taylor shared his views about what he wanted for his team and the future, to contradict, and I really didn't think that I was ever going to have to think of a different alternative when it came to playing in Minnesota or just playing a game of basketball. But again, with the elaborate talks and knowing that Glenn's views on what he wanted for his team on the future was very different from mine. And when draft night, when Boston traded for Ray Allen, the whole situation changed for me. And I actually contemplated and thought about it. Really didn't speak publicly, really didn't say too much, you know, to my friends or any of that. Just, you know, myself really trying to be comfortable with, you know, see myself in a Celtic jersey. And went out to my summer home and played ball with Paul. He didn't say anything to me about any of the things above. And I just got to thinking, and I guess at the end of the day, I'm loyal to a point where I feel like if someone's loyal to me, then I have no problem with that. But when that changes, it's pretty easy for me. So after that, going through those stages, which was really tough, I thought this is probably my best opportunity of winning the ring. So I took the big steps to make those adjustments, and here we are, win number five.
Now, let me just add that, you know, we're not done. We have roster spots to fill. We think we can continue to improve our roster. We don't think that these three guys alone can win a championship. And we really believe that 14-man roster, 13-man roster is crucial. And how we fill the roster spots is important for us. And these guys need supporting players that can get them over the top. And we will continue to do that. You know, on paper, this team looks good. These guys have a lot to do. These guys have to get the chemistry right. They have to make the sacrifices to win. Yeah. And I know there's been a lot of comparisons already. I've heard of the big three. Big three is the big three until we win. And these guys will never be the big three until they win. Absolutely. And I think they know that. I've heard these guys talk. I've talked with each one of them. They know that. Nothing has been accomplished by this team at all. They have a chance, they're excited and for the hope that is ahead of them this year, as everybody is. And but until they do something together and collectively, they know that they have to play defense, they know that they have to be coached, and they know that they have to continue helping their teammates become better through hard practice and tough experience. And these guys have a lot to offer the role players on this team still. And so, you know, they know all that.
I just think this is a tremendous day, not only for Kevin, myself, and the whole organization. I mean, it's funny, mid-season after I got hurt, that, you know, I go into Wick's office with Steve and Danny, and you know, we voice our concerns about the team. We're in the middle of a losing streak. And, you know, one thing I can say about them, you know, they've always been passionate about this team and want to put a winner out here. And it's showing. And with the moves that we made this summer, you know, even though we've given up a lot, but, you know, it's a big sacrifice that you have to make to win ball games. And, you know, I've been preaching that, you know, you need veterans to win in this game, you know. And they've did everything they can to bring a team in now that, you know, this city can get excited about. Like I said, I told you in the past that, you know, the Boston Celtics is an elite franchise. And, you know, now that we've made the deals to be a team, to be at an elite level, I think that's what this city is all about, and staying there. And I just want to reach my hand out to them for, you know, their efforts and bringing this team together, bringing the players around me necessary to have a shot at a ring. You know, that's my whole passion. I know that's what drives Kevin. I know that's what drives Ray. We've all been in the same situations. We've been on teams where we've had to carry a lot of the load for a number of years. And as you all know, that you can't win that way. And us coming together, understanding what you're going to have to do to win. These guys I've followed them You know, I'm also a fan of the game. I know how unselfish these guys are. I know how unselfish I am. And I know these guys are going to do whatever they can to make this thing work. And, you know, like I told Danny in the back, I feel like I'm a rookie again.
You know, these three guys go back a long way as well. I mean, I think Paul and KG, KG actually stayed with Paul for a week or so, a couple weeks when they were in high school. So this has been a long time coming. And Ray and KG.
It took 13 years to get back with them. And, 95.
Were you eating like ramen noodles and Doritos back then?
It's a little different. We won a high school tournament in Vegas in 95, the only time we ever played together. And 13 years, we're back together, so who knows.
And then Ray and KG go back to high school as well, back in South Carolina. So these guys are very familiar with one another, which I think is going to help a great deal in the chemistry developing and willingness to sacrifice for each other.
I'd like to say a word about Danny and Doc. They've created a culture here of being patient, of drafting well, and developing players. If you like the way Jefferson plays, as I've said to many people, you ought to look at who drafted him and who coached him. And they're going to love him in Minnesota, and it's hard to see Al go. Danny and Doc have set up a climate where we had the pieces that we could offer somewhat reluctantly, but to get a third-grade superstar as the core of our team as we try to make a run and try to become a contending team, which is going to be a lot of hard work away. We might get there. I'd like to say that these players off the court, each of them, to me, embody Celtic pride. Kevin received the community award. Paul's charity event, I think, is next week out in L.A. and is devoted to the Truth Fund. And Ray still brings hundreds of kids up from Connecticut to our games when Seattle was back in town, and I'm sure he'll still be doing it now that he's a Celtic. These are Celtics on and off the court. I'm proud to have them here. Last thing I'd like to say is Boston is a special town. I've heard from so many of our fans today. And I've also heard from John Henry, Bob Kraft, and Charlie Jacobs on behalf of the Jacobs family. They've all called, and they're ecstatic for us, the Celtics. So we're glad to be back. We appreciate their support. And this is a great time to be a Celtic.
It's definitely a great opportunity. I've been in the league. I have great respect for this organization. I remember going back in the days when this organization battled against the Lakers, and every time they came in here, they were afraid to walk into the Garden. And I think those are the days that we're heading back to here. You know, the opponent walking to this building knowing that they have a lot to be afraid of, and not just from one position. From myself, you know, I greatly respect everybody up here at this panel, because everybody up here does their job in a professional manner. Everybody up here wants to win, and most importantly, everybody's a good person. So we know, but from myself to Kevin to Paul, you know, we've talked here in the last couple of hours and the last day or so, and we share similar philosophies. We all were on teams last year that didn't make the playoffs, that we had a lot of young players that we had to nurture and mature, get them to play basketball for 82 games. And it's such a great pleasure and an honor now to step on the floor with these two guys, night in, night out, knowing, you know, what I'm going to get from them. I watched them a lot on TV. Don't get mad at me, because sometimes I might watch them while I'm out there on the floor, you know, being a fan still. But it's just a great joy and a great honor for me to be here, and I'm thankful to the ownership for bringing me here.
Echo basically what everyone else said. I couldn't be more excited, obviously. Before I talk about Kevin and Ray and Paul and the job that Danny and Wick and ownership have done, for a coach, this is a great day for me, and it's also been a very difficult day. Al and Ryan and those guys, you put your heart into those guys, you know, the young guys, you really do. And so making that trade call was difficult. I mean, I'm an emotional coach, and I put my heart into this game, and you put your heart into your players. I think that's what every coach should do. And so that was difficult. Al and Ryan and Gerald and Bassey, they're all going to be great. And I wish them all the luck, and except for against us. in the world. On this trade, I love it. I just think it gives us a chance. It gives us hope. That's what we want. You know, from low expectations to high expectations, that's what we want. That's exactly what we want. And I can't wait to get started. I do wish training camp started tomorrow, but it doesn't, so I have to be patient.
It's early.
That's all right, Paul. It's in Italy, so don't worry.
Yeah, yeah. But I really can. So, again, I'm just excited. We obviously have three terrific players. We have three classy players. We have three unselfish players. And we have three players who want to make it work. And when you do that, you have a chance to make it work. And so let's get it going. I can't wait.
Sorry to add one more thing, but early on, my wife and I were sitting at a game, and Paul was knocked to the floor, and his teeth literally fell out, and I think might have hit her shoe. And we're sort of like, oh, my God. I mean, I'd be in my bed for a month if that ever happened to me. And Paul was back in the game, I think, 5 minutes later, and he just went to the dentist the next day, and he got it done before shoot-around or before practice. And we knew then that we wanted to build this team around Paul Pierce, and that's Paul's still here, and others have joined him. And that is really just the way I wanted it.
I told Danny when I first talked to him, it feels good to be appreciated. And at the end of the day, you don't have to, you know, pat me on the back. You know, it's just good to recognize that. And I don't know, I'm excited. I told them, it's like being in a Lamborghini doing 200 with your head stuck out the window. That's what this last.
You done that, man?
I don't have a Lamborghini to begin with. But I'm just telling you, it's been like a whirlwind these last 72 hours, and I'm just happy to be up here. Since I've gotten here, I already see the difference in how the organization does things. I can't even elaborate on how professional, first class, everything's been so far. So I thank the ownership, Danny, everybody here for that. I appreciate it.
This one's for Paul. Like you said, you need vets to win, and you made the suggestion to bring vets in, and you got Danny and you got Wick bringing them in for you. Do you feel like at this point, they brought in two of the best vets, do you feel like at this point there's no excuse for this team and you as a player to excel and to succeed now with the situation you have?
Definitely. When you bring these type of caliber players in, there's going to be expectations. You know, these guys who I've seen over years that thrive when they're under pressure, who's had expectations their whole year. And I think this is something that we look forward to. This is something that we want at this point in our careers. And that's what it's going to take to win. I mean, these guys are, I mean, I couldn't ask for any better situation. I mean, I asked for veterans, I didn't expect to get a 7-time
we might
All-Star
have
or a 12-time All-Star. You know, I was looking more on the lines of, you know, I don't know. But this is I ain't gonna say no names, but hey, this is a dream come true for me. I mean, like I said, I feel like a rookie again, you know, when you first get drafted and you're excited about playing in the league, and I'm just excited. I mean, my motivation, it's been hard on me the last couple of years just trying to stay motivated, but you know, fortunately I love the game so much that, you know, I'm gonna be motivated, but now it just takes it to a whole nother level.
I'm a very passionate player, but the one thing that hurts more than anything is losing. That's knowing that you're going into a game and you have a slight chance of winning is pretty difficult. I'm a very confident person. I try to instill confidence in everybody around me, and sometimes it gets hard, to be honest with you. But what's refreshing about this whole panel up here is knowing that each and every night I have an above average chance to win. And even though the onus is going to be on the three of us and how well we gel quickly, how soon this chemistry comes together, you know, the little small things that you guys have no insight about. But, you know, we know that gelling and chemistry is a big part of this. But knowing that I have a chance every night and I don't have to go out and get 25, 30, 20 rebounds, you know, I don't have to do that every night. But I'm very capable of doing that. And I don't know, man, it just feels good. It feels good to have two big guns on the side of me. Feels real good.
You had a couple of final questions, Bill?
That's just for all three of you. In your mind, are the Celtics now the team to beat in the Eastern Conference?
Go ahead, Bud.
Let me go first. Well, again, chemistry is a big thing. And with Cleveland, respect to them and winning the East last year, I think the East has gotten a lot better. The distance to, you know, the Knicks, Orlando's gotten better. Detroit, I mean, you can't ever count them out. I mean, Cleveland again, I mean, it's definitely, the Eastern Conference hasn't gotten better. I wouldn't go that far and say that we're the team to beat because we still have things to prove. We still have to work on chemistry and bonding. I can say that we're going to be a force to reckon with. I will say that.
I personally try not to worry about what's going on around the rest of the league and trying to build what we have here and team chemistry and working with the guys that are going to come in, that are going to join us, Rajon Rondo and Tony Allen and Scalabrine and other guys that are on the team. We have a lot that we want to build towards. And, you know, as training camp starts, we're going overseas this year. We'll have a great time to bond through traveling. Plan to get some international competition. And then, you know, before you know the season will be here. And it's the small things, really, that are going to equal up to the big things. And when we take care of those small things, you know, we'll look up and our standing will be, you know, in a pretty good place. Because Kevin is a passionate guy. Paul's passionate, but they're also stubborn. There's also ornery. And playing against these guys, I'm the same way, but playing against these guys, they want the best. You know, I want the best out of both of them, and both of them want the best out of me, vice versa. So when we're out there playing, we know what it's going to take, you know, being consistent and counting on each other for 82 games, you know, being great for 82 games. And that's what we're here for.
I don't know if we're the team to beat in the East, but I know when other teams look at that schedule when we come in town, they're probably going to get their rest the night before. But the other thing about that is I've always felt like we've been a team to beat since I was a rookie. So, you know, I'm optimistic like that. But it's a great situation, and we're all excited.
I'll say this, too. You know, when I'm on the perimeter and I know I got these guys behind me, you know, my confidence level goes up sky high. You know, my swagger is through the roof. You know, and I guarantee you they both feel the same way on offensively and defensively. So, when they see us coming and the other team see us coming on the other end, they'll definitely be afraid because you got to pick your poison.
Kevin, it seems like from what we read and heard, this was your deal to make at the end. I mean, if that's the case, why did you make? Why did you decide that this was going to happen?
I really felt like it was my only scenario, to be honest with you. Again, and I can't stress this even more, no one wants to be in a situation that you can't be successful. I'm no different from that. I wasn't comfortable with, I've been losing the last, 4 years? I mean, that's hard. I take that home. I try to digest that the best way I can, and it's difficult for me, to be honest with you. And just looking at all my scenarios, knowing that Minnesota didn't share some of the same interests that I had, knowing that trying to find the best scenario for myself, my family, basketball-wise, this came out to be the best scenario. I do have a place in L.A. L.A. is L.A. I can't, knowing that Kobe's situation is up in the air, you know, Phoenix. I mean, all those are beautiful places to visit and live. But when you speak on basketball, you speak on fans and how they feel about their sports here. I mean, it was a no-brainer. There was no way I was going to be able to go to another team in this league and have the two caliber players that I have. Doc, I mean, the staff, I mean, no way. It was no way that I was going to be able to duplicate that in anything. So I felt like I made the right decision for not only me, but for my family.
But the real reason he didn't tell you is that he has a Red Sox baseball hat collection. And he has a tough time. He has a tough time wearing those, except when he comes to Boston. So now he can break out his Red Sox hat collection.
I can bring out all my Red Sox hats now. So
he is a big time Red Sox baseball fan.
Super fan.
And the other thing that is, you know, there was a lot of reports out there about KG not wanting to come to Boston, and I had the opportunity to talk to KG before the draft, and those were all false reports. I mean, KG. There was a team or two that he liked better than our situation, of course. It had nothing to do with Paul Pierce. It had nothing to do with the city of Boston in any way, shape, or form. It was just, you know, what we would have had to give up to get him, and, you know, wasn't sure that him and Paul were enough, and the Ray situation changed that. But there was, all the reports out there were false from every conversation I had with KG. And so the fact that he changed his mind didn't surprise me at all, based on the conversations that I had with him before the draft.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you
very much.
As Doc Rivers said during the press conference, he, along with a fan base that had been patiently waiting for a championship-contending team, were more than anxious to start the season. On Celtics Media Day, Mike Gorman sat down with the new Big Three as the first step of a special season began. First up, the player that had been waiting his entire career for a team like this, the captain, Paul Pierce.
We've been doing this for how many years? I don't know. We neither one of us want to count. But
this is the anniversary, the 10th anniversary of mine.
never with the optimism that surrounds this team right now. Never has your smile been wider. Talk to me about how you feel heading into this.
The last time I probably smiled this wide, I have to look back 9 years ago, and I have to look at my draft day pictures the day I shook David Stern's hand. So this is definitely exciting for me, just this opportunity to play with such great players, especially coming from where we came from a year ago, being a team that was bottom of the league, didn't get the number one pick, and I come into training camp, come to media day, and look what I got here. You know, cast of all-star players, got a guy that's won a championship, and another number of role players who has a lot of experience, who are capable of getting the job done night in and night out.
How hard was it for you to be a part of and to watch when you were hurt last year?
It was the hardest point in my career. If I had to say that, it was an all-time low. It had to be last year. Especially times when I was hurt and I couldn't do anything to help my ball club, then the losses kept piling up. You know, you win, you lose one, two, then it got to 10, 11, 12, and it was like, man, I really didn't know how much of a load I carried for this ball club until I had the chance to just sit back and watch this team go through what it went through. And it's definitely a humbling experience. And when you just sit there and watch and being at your all-time low and come back to training camp and see what's in front of you, I've definitely been dragged through the mud, and you know, I've stuck with it, and look, I'm happy as I can ever be.
And not just one, I mean, we'd still be having a good time if we were sitting here and saying, hey, we got Ray Allen to run alongside you, but to throw KG into the mix, and you kind of want to pinch yourself, don't you?
Oh, man, that's like icing on a cake. you know, I was happy getting Ray at first, and knowing that I've played with Antoine, he's been an all-star in this league, and Ray, he's probably going to be a Hall of Famer.
And had success, too.
Definitely, and it was like, you know, Ray really gave me a sense of hope. And not knowing that we would get Kevin, and then it was like, when you grab him, it was like, somebody's watching over you, Paul, who's looking out for you. So don't worry about a thing.
You guys have a remarkable number of all-star appearances amongst the three of you. Kevin's got an MVP under his belt, leading rebounders. You all have just a plethora of individual awards. But again, the one missing thing is the ring. It looks like it's just the perfect marriage of three guys at a point in their career that they're able to just function and focus on a single goal.
You know, the great thing about this situation is you had to put Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett, and Paul Pierce on a team in their second, third, and fourth years in the league. You know, who knows? You know, you're talking about guys who are out there still trying to prove themselves. I think at this point in our career, we've proven so much individual-wise between the three of us that the only thing left for us is to win the championship. We know that's going to take sacrifice. We talk about it. We know it's going. We're going to have our ups and downs, and we know where we came from. And you know, for us to get that ring, it'd be so much satisfaction. And when that's all we talk about, we put it in each other's head. Hey, and I know that we're willing to make these sacrifices, do whatever it takes to make this marriage work.
How do you answer the skeptics who say, like, you know, hey, you know, Paul's used to having the ball in his hands all the time. Ray's used to having the ball in his hands all the time. Kevin used to having the ball in his hands all the time. How are they going to share it? How are you going to share it?
Well, the people who say that are right. I mean, but if you look at our situations, it's like, you know, Paul had the ball in his hands, but then it was like, who was Paul going to get the ball to? You know, when I played with other good players who are proven, who I knew what they were all about, we won games. A couple years ago, us winning the Atlantic with Gary Payton and Antoine Walker and Ricky Davis. You know I had to play with these guys. I took a lesser role for the good of the team. But these guys are going to be easier. You know, us three were all unselfish. You know, at the end of the day, it just comes down to winning and losing. You know, I'm the type of player that I can go out there and I'm going to have an impact in the game, whether it's my scoring, my defense, or rebounding, or whatever is needed for that night for us to win. And I know it's not going to be about me having to go out and score 20, 30, 40 points a night.
We've always had a good, solid fan base around Boston, but now it seems like everybody's brother and everybody's cousin and everybody's nephew are suddenly fans again.
Oh, my goodness. You don't even know. I got people that I've been friends with for so long that has never been to a Celtics game, now want to come to a Celtics game. It's just weird. You can feel it in the air. You can feel it when you're going around town, going to the grocery store, the mall, just the interest that's back in the Celtics. Not that it wasn't there before, but a newfound interest from not only in Boston, but the places I've been this summer. I met fans this summer when I went over in Rome. and it's just the newfound respect we're getting with the guys that we got on this team is something like I've never seen.
Much like his new teammate in the Truth, KG had some good teams in Minnesota, but nothing like the team that was now assembled in Boston. What were Garnett's impressions of the Celtics' legacy before he arrived?
So this, but the whole Celtic legacy, I was looking, like, you're only 10 years old in 1986 when the Celtics won their last championship. So, for us, we have the Bird era, we went all the way back to the Russell Cousy, Heinsohn era. But for you, you've really only known the Celtics as being successful once with Antoine and Paul. I mean, I know I'm sure you're a study of the history of the game.
Absolutely. I was just about to say, I'm very aware of the history and what follows. But
in terms of a personal touch, I mean,
no, none whatsoever, other than that year you're speaking on with Paul and Antoine. But when you come in this building, it's like they won 50 in a row or they are on their way to the playoffs. I've yet to come into the Garden or the Fleet Center or whatever you want to label it and felt like I wasn't in Boston. I knew I was in Boston. I felt the magic from the banners as I looked up, and you feel the energy. And every time I've come in here, man, I play with that, almost like I'm like in awe. Like I am privileged to be in here, and I've always played with that, like that legacy and that magic. I've always felt that tradition when I've ever played in here, and I've never, like, you know, undermined it. I never tried to, like, store it. Every time I come in here and play, man, it's like magic. It's like, whew. It's a great place to play. One of my favorite places to play.
Your intensity is legendary, and how you approach not only every game but how you approach every practice. How did you create such a deep well of intensity that you could draw on it that often? I mean, some guys have to pick their spots. You don't. Every spot is a spot for you.
I am extremely competitive, and it doesn't really take much for me to be motivated. Only thing it takes is somebody on the sideline to say something to get me going. I don't do it in retrospect to be seen or heard. I do it to not only get myself going, but to get my team going, to motivate practice. I've found out that I found out in my younger days that I can take
a normal practice and put some energy into it, and it can go to one of the best practices or best times for sports or recreational wise to a whole nother level. And I just enjoy playing. I enjoy competing, and I hate losing. And I can sit here and tell you some stories. Obviously, you don't have enough tape, but of just how, I don't know, ever since I've been a kid, I've been able to be passionate about whatever it is I'm doing. I've been able to be passionate about it. I've been able to embrace it and be that, and basketball has given me that outlet.
You will love how that passion is received in this city. You'll love it. Let me ask you, again, I know how hard you prepare for a season, and I'm sure you prepare for this season just like you prepared for every other season, but there has to be a difference, I would think, in your mental preparation, not going back to Minnesota, not going back to something that was very familiar to you, even geographically familiar to you. This has to have been a different experience for you.
It was very different, knowing that, now when I go from California, I'm coming 6 hours, 5 hours across. I'm going coast to coast versus stopping in Minneapolis or stopping in the Midwest. Getting adjusted to a new city. In my everyday life, I don't like a lot of change. I don't do change. I like to be loyal and sort of cemented to where I'm at. And as you said, it was and it has been a transition, but one that I know I'm fond of and one that I can embrace. What helps is knowing that, the Celtics wanted me and they wanted me with open arms, and looking at this as a new chapter in my life is sort of a great thing, not even a good thing, but a great thing. So I'm embracing the fact that this is a new chapter in my life, and I'm going to look at it not more, not less than that.
You had maybe your most success team-wise when you had Latrell and Sam with you. Is this comparable?
Very comparable. The difference is we're a little younger, obviously. Paul is not even, I don't think, has even hit his prime to what he can be in this league. I think he would benefit more from Ray and myself, more than Ray and myself and all that. But I think when you have a player that knows how to win, can take games over, and you put two quality guys on the side of him, I think he has yet to show what he can do. You got to double Paul Pierce. You got to, if not triple team him, and come up with schemes to stop him and slow him down. So if you have two other quality players as beside him, I feel like the repertoire, we've all seen what he can do. We've all seen what Ray can do, obviously myself. But I feel like in this whole thing, I just feel like we're all going to flourish. And, I think me and obviously Ray and I are a little older. But I think we're about to see the best of Paul Pierce. And I'm looking forward to that.
Going back to what Danny Ainge said in their introductory press conference, the Big Three was of course able to earn that nickname in their first season together, beating the Lakers in the NBA Finals in 6 games. That'll do it for this episode of CSNNE.com's Into the Archives podcast. For more episodes and information on how to subscribe on iTunes, log on to CSNNE.com/podcast. This is Abby Chin. Thank you so much for listening.